Days. You're with Lori DuBose as we welcome into the studio Pam Caudill with the World Affairs Roundtable. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Lori. It's good to be back.
And you have brought in U.S. Navy retired Captain Stephen Ewell as well. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Lori.
You're here to tell us about an upcoming event concerning Ukraine, an educational forum, if you will, with the World Affairs Roundtable. But let's start with, what is the World Affairs Roundtable? We haven't talked to you in a couple of years due to the COVID break.
That's right. We were offline, so to speak, for 2 years. But the World Affairs Roundtable was first founded in 2009. And since then, with the break for COVID, we've been presenting 5 programs a year on contemporary global topic and international issues. And we started back in the spring of this year, right after the invasion of the Ukraine, with a program by Dr. Maura Kozelski. She is with the University of Mobile, and it was on Russia and the Ukraine. It was very well attended. We had over 120 people.
Wow.
And Steve here was one of the attendees, and these are discussion areas. We have facilitators that come and they're subject matter experts, come and present the topic. We open it up for thoughtful, respectful discussion. And Steve raised a lot of good points concerning NATO. So I got him right after the program ended and said, we need to have you on World Affairs. And he has prepared a program to cover 2 sessions. And these will be evening sessions. I'd like to stress this because traditionally we've had some evening sessions, but mostly have been in the afternoons. And this is such an important topic. We would also like to get more working professionals and students to attend these programs because Fairhope is full of subject matter experts on a wide variety of topics and issues. So these both will be in the evening from 6 to 8. But I'm going to turn it over to Steve and let him talk about his program.
Okay, let me finish that thought and say October 18th and 24th, 6 p.m. at the Giddens Conference Center. Yes, and Steve, tell us about your career as a naval aviator, commanding officer, NATO, and more.
Well, thanks, Lori. I had the absolute privilege and honor of serving 30 years in the United States Navy. I was a naval aviator and had the opportunity both to fly and to drive ships. I had command of the NATO 6th Fleet flagship, and right before I retired from the Navy, I moved to Stuttgart, Germany.
Wait a minute. Command of the NATO 6th Fleet flagship.
Correct.
I just needed to repeat that so we could get the major, profound importance of that.
And from that job, I moved up to Stuttgart, Germany, and became, we have a command, we being the United States, called U.S. European Command, and it is in charge of coordinating all the military activities for the U.S. In Europe, and at the time, also Africa. But more so, it is an organization that interfaces directly with NATO and all the independent countries in Europe that are not NATO members. So I had a unique opportunity for one-on-one interface, and I've been to Ukraine several times in the past. So it was a wonderful opportunity. It gave me an interesting insight, and if you would you like me to talk a little bit about our topics that we'll talk about on the 18th?
Absolutely. The title is Ukraine and Transatlantic Unity.
Well, all of my experience, again, as I said, gave me some interesting experience. The 2 sessions that we'll talk about will focus on how we got to this point with Ukraine. And I think it's interesting, while all of us hear the debate continually on the news media concerning the European Union, NATO, United States, Russia, and the Ukraine, My guess is we all would be quite surprised over how little Americans understand how the U.S. engages these organizations, European mm-hmm. Union and NATO, and how NATO and European Union actually work, how they function, and quite frankly, why Europe has such a dependence on U.S. leadership and U.S. military power, because they do. So in the first session, I'll do my best to answer these questions, and then we'll move on and start talking about the past track record of Vladimir Putin over the last two decades as he tries to regain by force the independent countries that were once part of the Soviet bloc, and why most Eastern European nations fully expect further Russian aggression after Ukraine, and they really do believe that will happen. Very common brutal themes emerge when I call Putin's playbook, which he's again executing the current in the current Ukrainian conflict. And most people don't realize, I'm not talking about the casualty count, civilians casualty count for Ukraine as of February of 2022. I'm talking about from when Putin took power all the way up until 2014 when he annexed Crimea. He's got a track record of killing about 520,000 civilians, which I don't think most people realize. We'll have an open forum discussion showing examples of why the West always loses against Vladimir Putin, and quite frankly, out of greed and fear. And that's just not the United States. I think that's almost every Western nation. In reality, I think an argument can be made that we continue to give Putin a green light to continue his vision of reconstituting the former Soviet Union by force by not holding him accountable for anything. He continually gets away with everything that he does. And I'll just end by saying books can be written about all the topics that we'll talk about. So our time is limited, so we're going to summarize the points to our best of our ability, have some open forum discussions, and my goal is to increase knowledge of the attendees of the stakeholders that are involved in the Ukrainian conflict in an effort that when they hear future news reports, they can look or listen to the news reports and interpret those with a better informed, a critical eye. I always joke that after I finished some of my training, international training, I would walk away and say, gosh, I'll never read the newspaper the same way ever again.
Right.
And that's the goal of what we're trying to do with these two forums.
Fascinating. Yeah. Very fascinating. Will you go on to say what you think our administration should be doing in reaction to Putin?
Well, Putin is the type of individual that responds to strength. And while we have demonstrated some strength, I think from the very beginning, quite frankly, I think we could have avoided this if we showed a more forceful hand, we being the West and the United States, prior to Putin's invasion in February. That being the case, now I think as we move forward, we do need to support the Ukrainians fully with what they need to win. I think if we had done that from the beginning, this would be over. Right now we've entered a new critical phase. And again, Putin threatens use of nuclear weapons. He's done that in the past. And while that's always a very concerning threat, it cannot essentially scare away our support for Ukraine. And when I say we, again, I'm talking about the Western community. So I think we need to stay the course. The Ukrainians are fighting for everything they have. And I put this in context and ask the audience, if you were a Ukrainian and you have lost everything, let me back up. you're coming home to Fairhope, and you come home to a house that's been destroyed, your bank account is destroyed, you have nothing but the clothes on your back. What would you do, what would you think, and would you hope the world would come to the aid of, in this case I'm saying Fairhope, to the United States? I don't think people realize how fragile governments are. So I hope the Western community stands by Ukraine. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And I know there's differing opinions on that, and we'll get into those because people may take issue with that, and that's okay.
And that's what part of the World Affairs Roundtable is.
We have respectful discussions about varying points of views and positions, mm-hmm. Yes.
And be careful how much you say, or you might be the next guest speaker.
That's very true. I'm always on the lookout.
Stephen, very, very impressive. Thank you for that. Pam, the World Affairs Roundtable, did you found that? How did it happen?
No, I did not. There was a group of retired international businessmen who retired here to Fairhope, and they wanted to have a salon, so to speak, about to discuss contemporary global issues, and they founded the World Affairs Roundtable in 2009. And I became involved as a speaker in 2013 and then part of the steering committee. And so we've been going since 2009,
okay.
World Affairs,
okay.
Which I think is quite quite remarkable. And I'd also like to thank the continued sponsorship of the Fairhope Library housing the World Affairs and letting us use the Giddens Room.
Are we able to broadcast this, to record it and broadcast it on Facebook or YouTube?
That's something we've been throwing around and talking about because we've had so many interesting facilitators and speakers, but we have not resolved that yet.
Okay. Go find a young person. They'll do it for us.
That's true.
And Pam, you yourself have lived a life of service after retiring with the federal government in Washington and moving here. You were on the airport authority for how many years?
11.
11 years on the airport authority. You've served with the World Affairs Roundtable for at least that many years now as well. And I understand you are going to Washington to receive a major award from the International Alliance for Women.
I am.
Tell us about that. Your husband was so proud he had to let me know.
Going back to 1993, I was posted to Tokyo, Japan, and I became involved with an organization there called Foreign Executive Women in Japan and was on their board. And we were a member organization of the International Alliance for Women, which groups women's networking organizations around the world working for the economic empowerment of women. And I stayed involved through the rest of my career. And then the woman who had been the president of Foreign Executive Women in Japan, British woman, Diane Morris, she recruited me after my retirement to become involved on the board of TIAW. And I served on the board in various capacities for 8 years. And the past 3 or 4 years, myself and my colleague, Peg Weir, we have been the chairs of the World of Difference Awards. And these are awards that we give out annually to women, I call them the high heels on the ground, around the world, who often work against cultural and legal obstacles, funding obstacles, to found organizations and programs that help women economically empower themselves. And so this year we are honoring 50 such women in DC. And in addition to that, there is a Founders Award, the Mandy Goetz Founders Award. She is a woman out of Maryland. She founded this organization over 40 years ago, so it's been going strong. And she's still with us every year at the Old Girls Retreat.
Awesome.
And And so this year I am the proud recipient of the Mandy Goetz Founders Award for my contributions over nearly 30 years to TIAW.
Wow. Very, very impressive and very well deserved. No wonder he texted me to let me know to ask.
It's very sweet.
Pam is very modest and humble and would not have said a word if I hadn't have been clued off on that. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So is this will culminate, I'm supposing, the World Affair Roundtable for the year, and you're making plans now for 2023, or do you have one more?
No, this will be our fall programming,
okay.
And we are looking for topics and subject matter experts to speak in 2023. We generally like to do two programs in the spring, possibly three if we have the time, and two programs in the fall.
So for folks to be able to contact you for more information about possibly contributing as a guest speaker or topics, what should they do?
worldaffairsroundtable@gmail.com.
worldaffairsroundtable@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Do y'all have a Facebook page?
No, we don't.
Ah, look into that. Very good. Or, but you do have the worldaffairsroundtable@gmail.com.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, Captain. Very, very impressive. And we look forward to your speaking engagement, the World Affairs Roundtable, Tuesday, October 18th, Session 1, Monday, October 24th, Session 2, both at 6 p.m. until 6:45 or so at the Giddens Conference Center, which is inside the Fairhope Public Library.
Yes.
Very good. Anything else? Thank you.
Don't think so.
Thank you so much. Very, very impressive and very pertinent, especially